Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, three, like a bird I sing, 'cause you've given me the most beautiful set of wings. And I'm so glad you're here today, 'cause tomorrow I might have to go and fly away. Hey! I've walked right through my shoes, just a small reminder of the hell that I've gone through. But look at me still smiling, 'cause I'm wondering what I'll do. Since I ain't got nothing, I got nothing to lose. Everybody say, ha, 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 ha. Well, my friends are always giving me watches, hats, and wine. That's how I know this is serious, that's how I know it's time. I don't have to worry about things that I don't have, 'cause if I ain't got nothing, I got nothing to hold me back. And one, two, three, like a bird I sing, 'cause you've given me the most beautiful set of wings. And I'm so glad you're here today, 'cause tomorrow I might have to go and fly away, fly away. Places I should go, from Happyville to Loving Land, I'm gonna tour from coast to coast. I'm leaving everything behind, there's not much that I need, 'cause if I ain't got nothing, I'm footloose and fancy free. And one, two, three, like a bird I sing, 'cause you've given me the most beautiful set of wings. And I'm so glad you're here today, 'cause tomorrow I might have to go and fly away, fly away.
Centric Radio, everybody. It's a stellar Monday. Are they, do those exist? I don't know. We'll find out. Anyway, welcome, everybody. say a quick prayer. Father, we thank you for all the leading you have done with us and in our group, this church that you've formed, virtual church where Jesus is our pastor. I want to glorify you, share your leading through us, and we seek and look forward to what you'll lead us to. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I am going to do a quick worship song here, and then I'll open up the phone lines.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it.
Sing out.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open up the gates of heaven. Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain. Open up the gates of heaven.
Come on.
Come and move, God. Come and move amongst us. We want
Welcome, everybody. Just a quick note for our guests. I think we have at least four today on the board right now. I want to just ask you to log in at some point here in the next few minutes. We just ask everybody to log in. We used to do it all the time, and we kind of relaxed on that, and I think we're going to just start doing it again. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. Who do I see in chat? I see Ben and Andre and Alana and Raina and Rosemary and Tressie. And on the line, we have a few people on the line. I think we've got Ben. Pardon me. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how's it going?
It's okay.
I'm going to have to make this quick because it's like just started pouring down here not long ago. It's going to be storming. I'm going to have to go back inside, just hang out in the chat room and everything. But I just want to just share a couple of things. I've been seeing like 144 a whole lot lately. And, you know, I know at May very well I have a lot of reference to the 144K in the Bible, which I don't understand a whole lot about anyway. It seems to me like a lot don't. But I've been seeing that a whole lot lately, and I'm not quite sure why it just keeps popping up all the time. I might have an idea, but that's just an idea. And the other thing is, I got to see something. Well, I don't know if cool is the right word for it, but last night, I already shared it with you, so you already know what I'm fixing to say.
Go ahead.
One of the, you know, I think it's like the first time it's ever really happened to me, but like I got to witness a brother having a demon cast out of him, like not really in person. It was mostly over the internet and everything like that. But but one of the main reasons I brought that up is because like right afterwards, you know, I asked some people in the blog talk chat, you know, because this demon wouldn't shut up. It just kept on talking about Orion and flies and just all kinds of stuff like that. And it just wouldn't shut up. So I was like, hey, help me pray for him because, you know, I was telling him the situation and everything. Like he said it was gone. And just to make sure, you know, I was like, well, tell me right now, who's the risen Son of God? Who's the Lord? He said, Jesus Christ. And I was like, all right. And, you know, Alana, I think she invited him to call in. I'm not sure if he will or not. But the main reason I brought it up is because, like, afterwards, I was just like, you know, in my mind, just saying, like, the devil's got no power over me because I'm a child of the Most High God. And it's like, I looked right over at the computer right after that, and it said, child of the Most High. And I thought that was cool because it's not just me, because this hasn't had anything to do with me. It's everybody. So I just want to bring that up because it's kind of like I think it'd be encouraging for people just to remember that, you know, because God's no liar. And he said it over time and time again in the Bible that, you know, the powers of hell have no power over him. With Christ in you, the devil's not going to have any power over you either, you know. You could tread on serpents and things like that. Doesn't mean go around and go tempt God, you know, like, because even Jesus told Satan, he's not just going to throw himself off a cliff just to, you know, because Satan tried to tempt Jesus. Said, why don't you throw yourself off of this cliff and have the angels pick you up, you know, not be foolish like that and do things like that. But, you know, it was great. I just wanted to share that. I got to go back inside. It's like fixing the car here pretty bad.
Thanks
right,
so much, Ben.
I'll see y'all there.
Thanks.
In the blog talk chat. All right.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Ben was texting me about, or sending in chat last night. He was telling me about that. It's really cool. And, you know, it's really true. And one of the things that I was sharing with him was that in various different ways, not all of them that we've spoken about here, there have been several different attacks that the Lord has just very recently in the last week or so kind of allowed, if you will. And I think he's very happy with how we responded. And, you know, I'm not necessarily calling that a direct attack, but I mean, we're seeing challenges and things, and Ben had a great experience because, you know, it came to him and, you know, and he dealt with it in faith and standing on his position and in his faith and had success with that. And that's kind of what we're looking to do, and it's what God wants us to do, and He's with us. I guess what I'm really, even the only reason I'm really even speaking right now is just because I want to say, I know for sure in so many ways that He is really, if this is a concept that applies, He's closer to us than ever. He's more active than ever as we see evil being revealed in the world. And quite frankly, separating us more to Him than to the world, taking us away from the world and separating us more and more to Him. We're seeing a few shots across our bow, so to speak, but really it's just about standing in Him and having faith in what He's done in us. I mean, when we have experiences with us, when we have leadings from Him, and experiences with Him, He wants us to believe them. That's, I think in the last month or so, we've had a couple of different times where we really felt led to go back and review some of those things that He has told us in the past, because they don't run out. There's no expiration date on the leading that He has given us unless He takes us to a new level. Well, I think we're definitely seeing a new level. And I'm hoping that it's in the air here really soon. We have Surabelle. Surabelle, how are
Hi,
you?
Hi, I'm not able to really speak right now because it's kind of noisy, but I'll listen in and probably chime in.
Okay. Yeah, okay. And I think we have Chris. Is that you, Chris?
Yeah, hey, Jerry.
How are you?
How you doing?
Pretty good. Keeping sort of busy.
Well, I just wanted to share a personal, God tells us to, the Word tells us to confess to our brethren also. So, I need to make a confession and then make a point out of it. This weekend, I slipped. I fell big time. Friday night, I let a friend talk me into going and having a few drinks, and we're reminiscing about, old bar fights and this and that, and, then I just, I slipped there, and that slip led to a feeling of shame and guilt. But instead of coming into repentance quickly, I allowed it to fester, all right? And this is where I'm getting to a point that we need to learn, a learning experience for me that may help others also. If you slip and you fall and you do something stupid, don't continue to, we can't hide it from God. He sees everything. But don't continue to walk in that sin. Repent, accept His grace, and move on from it. Me, I did the opposite. I felt guilty. I felt shameful. Next thing you know, I'm out with a girl. Next thing you know, I'm smoking a weed with a buddy, and I'm like, and this went on for 2 days. And the whole time, I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing? What am I doing? But instead of coming into repentance over it, I allowed myself to be blocked from the Holy Spirit, and I continued to walk in sin for 2 days. And then I tried to pray, and I was like, and I'm like, Lord, why am I not feeling, your presence? And He's like, well, why do you think, you step back into sin that I've already forgiven you for, and you step back into it, so I came in, and then when I felt, I don't know how many of you have walked in worldly ways before, but, I'm sure some of you, have and know what I'm talking about here, but when you do that, Satan gives you the illusion that you're feeling good. I had this whole, Friday I slipped, Saturday I'm thinking, yeah, but man, I had so much fun. I was out with my boys, we were having a good time, and Satan was giving me this illusion and this temptation in my mind going, you know, yeah, see, is it really worth you walking with God and you're just, you know, and you're constantly crucifying your flesh and you're not doing anything fun and you're not, you know, you're alone, you're not with a girl. You could be out with this girl, you know, right now, blah, 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 you know. But no, you're going to crucify your
Chris,
flesh.
Chris, let me ask you a question, Chris. So
yeah.
When you're right, we can all meander a little bit, but, you know, when it was all said and done, I'm guessing that you got something out of this from God's point
yes.
of view.
Yes. And, I came to a revelation. You know, a lot of people, because I choose to, throughout my walk with Christ, because of my past, mostly, I choose to walk in as high of a level of sanctification as I can. You know, I don't swear, if I see a woman and I'm attracted to her at all, I look the other direction or I look
no,
straight
no,
up.
Wait,
you know,
Chris, what did he say to you when this was all over?
When this is all okay, this was where that I was forgiven. That you know that I needed to learn that His grace is abounding. You know, he hit me with, he's like, you know, I knew you were going to slip this weekend before you knew you were going to slip this weekend, but because of my grace, you're forgiven. And I take you right back into my loving arms. And that's where, you know, and I couldn't even look at my Bible for 2 days. I was
right.
in such shame, you know. I was just like,
well,
I read my Bible every day, you know.
Yeah, but it's not a sin to not read your Bible. I mean, you know.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Where I'm trying to come to, Chris, is that we don't have to put ourselves up on the cross every time we slip. We can just say, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't really want to do that. I'm not happy about it. And just basically crawl back under His wing of forgiveness and move on. And I don't think, honestly, I'm betting that you wouldn't have had this experience if there wasn't something He wanted somebody to get out of it, either you or maybe the people you were spending time with, because the time is very, very short. The time is very, very short. Yeah, and when he pulls us out of here, He's going to use our absence as a giant exclamation point. So I really do think that's
I was able to witness to the bartender, and she did come to Christ, and she's now.
It's okay because
our presence
is a much better testimony. Our presence and our heart is a better testimony than just a pure scriptural consideration. I mean, you can't lecture somebody to an open heart, and. But you can fellowship someone to an open heart, and you can live an example, even if you're not in the best environment or handling things the best possible way. Your heart can shine through, and the heart of God can shine through. And that's what speaks to people. That's what people recognize in all of us that we hope that they might be looking for, and they'll remember that. They'll remember that.
Yeah.
I want to say Keith is on the line, and I got him opened up. And Pat called in, but she had to get off right away. So hopefully she'll call back in. But hey, Keith, how are you?
Hey.
Good.
Keith. I'm proud of you, Chris. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
I know Jerry's not proud of you, but I am. Don't worry, brother.
Thank you.
Good job, Chris. That's it. You did good. You know,
the key is
you just move forward and you got back on track and. We all slip. You know, we could have hour-long radio station show on who slipped up that day and how long. The whole show could be about that day and night, but we just, you know, all we do is move forward. And that's where, you know, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. And that's where God covers
exactly.
you in the gap. you know. So he already forgot about it, and I'm proud of you that the fact that you got back on track. That's all that matters. Like the Lord said, just pull your car back on the road. He always shows me people steering the car back on the road, and tell people to just move forward after that. Don't look back, you know. So good
job.
Well,
the only reason I even shared it was because, you know, the Lord put it on my heart. He said, you know,
I'm
a lot of people get the wrong perspective of you and think that you're this holier than thou. You know, and I'm not.
You were, but
you know, I
knew.
And
I want to
share that
yeah.
I'm just as human as everybody else. You know,
I'm proud of you.
Right, right. You know, but really, Chris, I really think that honestly, I think what you experienced is what was just your personal form of what several people have been experiencing lately, and I think in our group in particular. And really, you did the right thing. You went, but, you know, we're all out there kind of bouncing around in our own little condition, wherever the Lord has us. But I you know, I'm really going to say that I think, you know, he has you in a place, and he's much more concerned about where our heart is and how he can use us. And I just am sure that he's going to use that somehow or some way that you might not even see at the moment. He's going to use it. And, he lets some things happen that we don't expect and we can't understand. And I know some other things that are exactly like that, that we haven't spoken about on the show, but serious things. And we don't always get it, but, each one of us, whether it's a short-term thing or a longer-term thing, has issues that we don't understand, and he's asking us to go forward in faith. And, you know, you did a good job coming back to him, but I'm going to bet that he wasn't really very upset with you because he already had that sin covered, and I bet he's going to use what you did this weekend, not just for you, not like a purifying, you know, exercise, but somehow or other, he's going to touch some of the people you spent time with through you.
That's wonderful.
So, Keith, what's up? Yeah. What's up?
Ain't nothing going around. Just recovering, doing better today, a little bit better. Rough couple of days, but I've been spending more time with the Lord. I just spend a couple hours a day with him. I mean, I'm the Lord all day long and talk to him and stuff, but I'm trying to do more like set the timer thing because, you know, they say, oh, if you want to get healed, you got to. I'm always on a wild turkey chase. These people, they're like, you got to do this if you want to get healed. You got to do that. So I'm always saying these verses, claiming that, reading this. It, look, you would think I'm Jewish or something, looking the wall, seeing all this stuff all the time. But you know, I told the Lord, I look like a perfect Jewish person following all the rituals, saying this, doing that, claiming this. But I was trying to spend more, like, time, you know, speaking in tongues and that kind of thing, which I don't really do much. So, and just feeling his presence more. And, you know, it's never like great time. I don't really have great time with the Lord when I talk about healing because it's a bitter subject for me. So I'm always just trying to wrap my mind around why we're waiting on it kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to understand why God wouldn't manifest it when I could do so many more things for him. You know, what we're waiting for, you know, but it's okay. Just
well,
staying under his wing, you know.
Yeah. I don't, you know, there's a lot of things that I don't get. I mean, before I came to our Rapture Centric Church, I was having some, in a very particular way, I was pretty much at the end of my rope. And, in a specific way, I mean, there's, you know, look, there's a lot of blessings around me that are God's you know, a lot of great things, and very thankful for his stewardship over the kids. But, you know, there was one particular area that it was, I just really couldn't see where there was anywhere to go, and kind of needed to, because I felt like it was affecting everything else. my ability to do the other things that I knew were in his will. I mean, it was a long-term thing, but it finally got to the point where I really felt like it was pulling me down and getting me to the point where I was just going to – it was really affecting how I could
I can relate.
And you know, the thing is – and wasn't that funny? But anyway, he – you know, I finally went to him. It got to a point, a very particular defined point, and I got there and I asked him about it, and, you know, that very night, as he actually has on several times, he gave me a very specific dream, and it took me I'm pretty sure I understood what it meant, but it was, like Judy says, sometimes a little shady, and I was like, really? You know, and, but I understood what it was, and then later on, he took me another step, and quickly after that, took me another step. And the funny thing is, you know, he gave me an answer, and it wasn't, you know, a perfect answer. It wasn't an absolute solution, but it was a hope, and it was a strong enough hope that I was very happy to live with that. As an alternative, because it gave me kind of a direction to point myself in that context. But, you know, then the solution has its own time frame and its own condition. And did, at this point, it's been a long time. And I'm waiting. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard.
I hate waiting.
And because, you know, it's a promise.
That's the faith program. That's the faith program. It's standing and waiting. That's the program.
Yep.
I hate it. I tell the Lord I don't like that program. I tell him all the time, that faith program sucks. I do. I said, well, I do it now.
Yeah, well, that's what we signed up for.
I know. Exactly. Wait.
But, you know, it's okay to keep it real, too. And you know, that's what you're doing. And that's why I really offer this.
You know,
yeah.
I need
yeah.
it to manifest. So I'm always either I'm going to get healed or we're going to get raptured. I go back and forth on the two. Which one's faster? These days I'm putting all my chips on rapture or the healing. I got them all stacked up on the rapture side. So, you know,
right.
I've got more faith that that's going to happen sooner than the healing. I mean, I had a powerful
well, you know,
guy pray for me today. He said, I pray for people, kid, and I have the gift of healing, and most people I pray for, I'll just be honest with you, they get healed right away. I'm like, all right, well, then let's pray. And, you know, I felt a little bit of energy around it. The crazy part is because of my gifts, I can actually see their faith, see the energy of the Holy Spirit like a color. I can actually see it, where it's going in my body and what it's doing, and then see that nothing happens. It's, like, so crazy. Most people, they don't even see it. They don't care. They get healed, and they walk away, you know. So, yeah, so it's like, and then he didn't have any understanding. Well, I don't know why. It didn't happen. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, here we go again, you know. So that's why
right.
I put my faith in the rapture more. I know a lot of us do
yeah.
for different reasons. Mine's for health. Other people's is that, you know, we all want to get out of it, obviously. You know, we want to get out of this world.
Yeah, you know, he's led us to certain places. And I know, you know, my study of all the end times things, the prophecy and what have you, literally all the prophetic scripture and Bible and other people's leadings and words and understandings and studies that happened, you know, that started many years ago. And it wasn't an obsession, but I could just tell that he just was continually driving me to study that and to do that. And really, to really make a long story short, it's led me here and it prepared me to be here and to
wow.
do this. And even my wife, who's not, you know, she's a person of faith, but she's certainly not rapture-centric, you know, when I started this, she said, oh, I know for sure he's prepared you to do this. It's easy to see. So, you know, and I, so, you know, a lot of and I had really gotten to the point where he had told me, you know, I'd done a lot of study and what have you, and I pretty narrowly circulated to things that I wrote up. And then he told me to rest, and I did. And, you know, I would do a few things here and there, but for the most part, he took away any sense of urgency that I had to pursue it, which had been really strong. And you know, honestly, I think that I was just kind of waiting, and I didn't really know what he wanted me to do next, and it took quite a while for everything to evolve and get to this point. So we're just here hanging out, and I'm just going to play. We loaded this Ebola song. It's real short, and then I think I'm going to play a worship song.
Okay.
We'll have a little fun with all this misery.
I went for a plate down at Nick Tahoe's. The line was long, and they ran out of cherry cola. C-O-L-A cola. I went outside and I met a man. He sneezed on me, now I'm coming down with Ebola. E-B-O-L-A, Ebola. Oh, no, no, Ebola. Now I've spent 10 days on the can. I've lost 10 pounds and I'm less of a man because Ebola. E-B-O-L-A, Ebola. Well, I'm not dumb, but I can't understand why the president didn't stop this guy back in Africa. Now I have Ebola. You must have Ebola.
It's a short one. So anyway, there's an awful lot of that in the news, and I don't know where they're going to take it. Well, we do know where they're going to take it. Even Jonathan Kleck put out something. He actually has done two videos kind of relating to that. He definitely thinks that. Okay, there's something a little bit different. This is from Journey. It's a song we loaded a while ago that I think Ben or some. Anyway, somebody mentioned it, and we only got to play it once, so I'm going to go ahead and play this.
Highway run into the midnight sun. Wheels go round and round. My mind, restless heart, sleep alone tonight, spending all my life along the wire. They say that the road ain't no place to start a family. Yeah.
Got it loaded, and just other things came up, and I just wanted to get back to it for everybody because I know a lot of people like that song.
Love it.
Yeah, Keith. You know, I don't know quite how we're set up here. I know the timing still looks really strong. I know that he keeps telling me over the last few days he just feels the Lord just really is impressing upon me a feeling of just peace. And I think it was last night he said, what did he say to me? He said, everything is just fine. In a really relaxed, low back. So he's with us and around us, and he did not have, at least where I was concerned, he was, and I was asking him about all of us. And I don't know, I'm going to call it quiet confidence that he's been kind of expressing to me over the last few days about all this and where we're at. And it's a different kind of a feeling to me, and I just feel like it certainly feels like he's getting ready to do something, either to take us to a really notably different level. But I can just feel so much separation from the world. Do you feel that? Do you feel like we're really increasingly closer to him, and as we see all this junk going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think the difference is like given with Chris's situation, when people step out, they feel that they just lost everything so much more than ever before, because we're so tucked under his wings so much, so tightly, you know. So we feel so covered that it's almost like you couldn't run away if you tried. He's got you covered.
Right. Yeah. A great way to put it. You couldn't run away if you tried. I was thinking earlier today. I was running an errand, and I was just had some free mental time, and I was remembering that the words so many of us were getting is that he's coming now, and I think he did. I think he came to us. I think his spiritual presence is much, much stronger, and he is much more one with us, and not, you know, any one of us, but many of us. And I just feel like he's been living through us a lot more, and sometimes, but it's such a subtle thing. I mean, he's so subtle in the way that he works. He's such a humble, subtle spirit. I really think that we're not we have to think about it and look for it. But I really do think he did come. We just didn't see the physical manifestation of us going to him. And I really think that...
Yep, you are totally right.
Yeah, thanks. Yes, yeah, Sir Bo. It's because I've seen it in a lot of people. And the more of him that we're seeing in us, the farther we are really from this junk in the world. You know, I was kind of being led before we started the show to do just kind of segments and play a little bit more music today. And I just saw one. We will, in recognition of Chris, but all of our conditions, I think I'm going to play this Johnny Cash song.
I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. I'm gonna grow and glow till I'm so blue pure perfect. Gonna put a smile on everybody's face. Oh, but I'm gonna kneel and pray every day, lest I should become vain along the way. I'm just an old chunk of coal now, Lord, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. Gonna learn the right words to talk. I'm gonna search and find a better way to walk. I'm gonna spit and polish my old rough edge itself till I get rid of every single flaw. Oh, I wanna be the world's best friend. I'm gonna go around shaking everybody's hand. I'm just an old chunk of coal now, Lord, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. I bet you I'm just an old chunk of coal now, Lord, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday.
Old chunk of coal. We're all chunks of coal. Just trying to get there the way he wants us. We're already there, a lot of us. If the Lord is in us and working through us, spiritually we're in good shape. It's our physical condition that is so frustrating. And that's why we seek his full redemption, our physical redemption, because it's just really a challenge to confront the weaknesses that we live within. And also the all our physical considerations. Let me see. Hold on. Oh, I had. Okay, here. Let's try this. Let's see how that. The board is working a little bit slow today. So, Chris, did you like that song? Well, Chris is there. Maybe he's not. And I think Sarah Bell said that she couldn't speak too much. So Keith, the Lord gave you a lot of insight recently about the sixth seal and how these things are playing out. We're seeing them all manifesting. Have you seen anything in the last few days that really caught your attention along those lines?
Mainly it's just been, I think lately it's been just the whole Ebola thing has really come in true. Like the Lord told me, it's going to wipe out 1/4 of the world, you know, traveling countries right now. And for me, the biggest thing about the whole message was that the 5 seals have already been completed. That's probably the biggest message. Because now,
right.
if the five seals have been completed since April, 5 seals have been completed since the first red blood moon, then how much, and we're on the 6th seal, and we're on the 2nd red blood moon right now, then, okay, well, there's nothing left to happen then. That's it. I mean, one more thing and we're gone. So it's going to happen right now. So it's like, whoa. I mean, it really shows the urgency of the timing of how fast we're going to be gone. Because that's pretty fast. Think about it. Before April, none of this stuff was going on. There wasn't ISIS, and there wasn't, you know, as big as it is, and there wasn't the Ebola thing. All this stuff's just coming out of the first, because I kind of figured, well, nothing happened on the first red blood moon. But a lot has happened, a whole lot, and quickly. And this world is a huge, complicated place with a lot of people. And yet these seals crossing the countries and continents, like, it's no big deal. It's like, whoa.
Right.
Nothing like that's happened in the past. I mean, in the past, it was like something might be in one city in America and it might have traveled to Mexico. But now it's like this thing just jumping. You know, these things now, these horses are just jumping. They're like the Lord shows me, the horses are jumping continents. You know, they're just jumping around. I mean, they can cover cities, counties, states, countries, continents that fast. So it's made the world look like a really small place because of it. It shows you how powerful Almighty God is. With his, you know, the judgment, you know, because look how fast they can just, they take this world and like no big deal. The World Health Organization today said it's the biggest, for modern era, it's the biggest threat in the world, the Ebola, that they've ever seen in modern era. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
So you can see the power of these horses can overtake the world that quickly, that fast. Like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm just going to say one of the reasons that's true is because nobody's ever tried to intentionally spread a disease like that before.
Yeah, intentionally is the word.
Yeah, could it be, you know, I feel like the church lady, could it be Satan?
I mean, the way you described it yesterday, it was like you went over every detail, like it was perfectly manufactured, like to sat down and said, well, we needed to spread this way, we needed to go this way and cover, you know, every bad thing possible was all put together with it. And now it's, it's just going, I think the Boston case was not confirmed, but the Dallas second one was. And now everybody, and for every one case,
I'll tell you,
I'll
tell you, if we were dealing with regular situations right now, this is what I would be saying about it, and that is that I happen to know that a whole lot of the people who work in these hospitals don't follow proper procedures, and and many of them, quite frankly, while they can wear the equipment, they don't have, you know, they're not very well practiced in using the equipment to keep themselves protected. For example, let's just say you go into a room with a highly infectious disease and wearing all your hazmat or whatever your, you know, equipment, you're completely covered head to toe, right? You know, you wear that stuff and then you expose that equipment to the disease and then you go wherever you go to take it off, touch the outside of that equipment anywhere.
Oh, wow.
Then it's as if you had never worn it to begin with. All you have to do is grab, you know, grab the outside edge of something it takes almost nothing. And if you think you're protected because you wore the equipment and then you behave, you know, and I'm going to use colloquial language, and you behave like an idiot when you're taking it off, you know, you're going to expose yourself. And there's so few people who have been trained with the discipline anymore to use all these things. Everybody sort of lives on the minimum level of discipline, because I can tell you the hospitals are run not with safety in mind. And they're administrated by people who are trained to be administrators. And, you know, you've got doctors who are trained to be doctors and administrators who are trained to be administrators, and that's a pretty kind word for it, in my opinion. And you know, and then you and there's very little cross-communication. There's very little discipline. Everybody keeps getting squeezed and squeezed and squeezed on how much they get done and how many people they cover and so on and so forth. And all of these routines that are supposed to be part of everyone's training fall by the wayside because 99% of the time they don't matter. And this is the 1% of the time
they do.
It does matter. And so if you're not extra careful or you're not very bright or you haven't really been strenuously trained in these circumstances, you're really, really likely to infect yourself, bottom line. And I'm just saying, I think Raina called in. Raina, is that you?
Yes, Raina, it's me.
Hi, Raina. I was glad
How
to see you calling.
How are you guys?
Really good.
Hey, Raina. Hi, Raina.
Hi, it's a long time.
How are you? What's going on?
I'm good. Thanks. Last time I had a dream, I really watched you there, but you wasn't there. But today, I had another dream last night. I did not. I shared it in the chat room. It's like I see a lot of people partying. I'm not a party person. I never go to parties, but I see like a lot of my friends partying, and then after the party, we are going to step on a boat, like a big ship, big cruise ship boat. And I remember was Mary in the chat room. Lord always talked to her about the cruise ship we are going in before we go. And I said, okay, I need to share that with you guys because party is us. You know, we are partying, waiting for Jesus. And then the boat, it's like, are we going now? Or I don't know. I want that to happen, but this is the dream. When I woke up this morning, I was like, what am I doing here?
Exactly. Why are we still here?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Yeah, that's right. Well, I read, I saw in chat you were posting some of that dream, and I sure hope it's a timely encouragement because that's how so much of us feel. There's several of us who are wondering why we're still here, or, you know, we're waiting for our new life because that's what we feel so prepared for. And
In that dream, I was so rich. I had a lot of millions. I had a lot of money. When I woke up, I said, oh, I woke up poor again. Oh, Jesus, Lord, help us.
Yeah, well, the thing is, he is. And, that, you know, I was sort of asking myself today, asking, well, okay, Lord, we're getting by. You're definitely with us here. I don't know. I don't want to be, you know, not thankful for all the provision that he has done. He's gotten us through a lot. And so how are we supposed to handle this? And the thing is, the weird thing to me is for years I've had this urgency, I've mentioned, to really seek the timing of his return. And I think we're in it. I mean, I think we're so in it. It's like, you know, you can, you know, if somebody puts, you know, some kind of a game board on the floor or, you know, draws a big one out like you're in school or something, you know, go to a certain spot on the floor and you go to that spot and you can't get any more there than you already are. And then all there is to do is wait till the game starts or something changes. And I really feel like we're pretty much there. So, I don't know. I really don't know. But the one thing I do know is I just don't have that urgency anymore. I feel like we're there. I feel like he's totally in it. I feel like I see it manifesting in so many of us. You know, an ever closer and togetherness for the most part. And, you know, he's, we keep having experiences and the encouragement. I was just looking up, Ben mentioned 144 right at the beginning of the show, and I was looking it up. And one of the meanings of that is very straightforward. It means the elect. The first occurrence is in the Old Testament of a word of that numerical value, and that is to take away. So, you know, Ben's been seeing that a lot. And so, you know, he keeps flirting with us, encouraging us, doing things with us, even allowing us to have challenging circumstances like Chris and some others. And we know he's there in it. It's just like, you know, what gives, Lord? And so it's all about Jesus. He's going to do it. And he's, the timing is going to be just right. And
yeah, I believe all this stuff is like, I don't know the word. I guess it's called dross. You know, when you purify gold, that extra, you know, crap,
right,
junk that's in it, you know, the dross. I guess that's the word for it. But all that's coming out, you know, it's like the purification process. So when you're going through troubles, rejoice in the troubles that you're going through, because, you know, the Lord brought you through it, you know, to it, to get you through it, you know, to quote that little slogan people say.
Right, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Brought us to us to get to it, to get us through it. You know, there was a circumstance that I became aware of in the last few days where there's just simply no obvious reason why the Lord would allow it to occur. And things, one of the things he put on my heart was that, you know, it's possible some of us are being led into these things, specifically because we can take it, because we will turn to him. And whether it's a testimony to the ones around us who are seeing it, or perhaps just a distraction so that the evil is not directed towards somebody who maybe can't handle it. But whatever the purpose, I think that we're in a point right now where, honestly, I think some of these attacks are coming specifically because we can handle it. And the rest of the understanding is just going to have to come when we're not having to live in our current human condition and rely so much on faith, but we'll have a better understanding down the road when he changes us. I want to do another song here, and hopefully when he changes us, it'll come very soon, and this is I Will Rise.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise. When he calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain, I will. My faith shall be
Okay. We have a few other people called in so we can hear. They can hear our record mode. But what I'm going to ask about is Alana. Hello, Alana.
Hello, Jerry. How are you?
I have the sneaking suspicion that you know what it's like to be at the end of your rope the way many of us are. And I was just going to ask you if you had any wisdom from this week.
Wisdom, I don't know. But what I will tell you guys is that, as usual, I'm an outlier, and my experience is very different, because we're all different, we're diverse. I was talking with him near the Day of Atonement, and asked him what I needed to clean up in my act, and he told me, and these two things, and recently a physical manifestation of what he has said has come across my plate, and I have found it as long as I was waiting that he is bringing me the very things that I need to experience in order to get that garment clean, in order to have my mind focused, in order to be the person that he meant for me to be, that he knows that on some level I am. And so I am just, I am strange. I am not at the end of my rope. Actually, I am on a learning curve that is vertical, strictly vertical.
Right.
And then being a sort of a curious sort of person, that kind of being the way he made me, I am, he's revealing something to me about either his ways or how he'd like me to walk in his way. Every day, he's doing that so much that I am not paying attention to time. On the other hand, even while I'm not doing this, this was a slick day. I took off work. For those of you who still know what a slick day is, the slick day is where, it's just where you don't. For varying reasons, and he's been talking to me and teaching me during that day and during that time. And while I was sitting here looking at YouTube channels, which I don't get a chance to do, during the week, I saw two dates come up, and they were very compelling witnessings. And one was the 17th, one was the 23rd. I talked with him about my own date speculation, and he said, "Nah, girl, you way too far off. It's closer than that." So I continue to get that sort of nod and that sort of prompt. So not only am I using this time in learning about how to clean up my walk, so that it's more kind of in rhythm, in sync, but I'm also getting these wonderful little dates coming across my desk, and I'm loving it. I hate to say it, but I'm loving it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Alana, because I know several people who have been, re-energized maybe isn't quite the way to put it, but we're definitely seeing a different growth or provision or a level with, I think, several of us. And it's a little scary because it's like, well, if he's going to keep doing this, then, how much longer are we really going to be here? What's he doing with his timing from our perception? And so it's a real question, but I know it's really great to hear you say that, because I know there are some others, and I'm not going to name names, but I know there's some others who are having similar experiences, and you can see it in our fellowship, and it's extremely cool. He's there. He's with us. He's, we're experiencing things we didn't expect to see, And then, and still, though, you know, we want him, we seek him, and I think he's coming, and he's going, I mean, he's here, I think, but he's going to take us to his realm soon. And, but, it, yeah, and we do see, like Keith was talking about earlier, we, I mean, we're seeing, especially the Ebola and these other things. I just, in the last day, I mean, there's been another escalation of the Ebola stuff, and then I saw two headlines today that were unrelated to each other, apparently unrelated. And one was about Dick Cheney saying that we're in a worse security situation now than we were before 9/11. Well, okay, this guy, you know, where, whatever you think of him, for him to make that statement, think about what 9/11 really was. I mean, 9/11 shut down the better part of the world for a week, especially in the financial markets. It shut down travel. It shut down the economy. It, you know, for the most part, not completely, but for the most part, I certainly shut down travel. For the most part, and obviously it was a major catastrophe in New York City, which also housed a whole bunch of financial buildings and offices, and obviously the people. And so that's a really big deal. So when you say that we're in a worse security situation now, and you're in a position who's, you know, a person in a position where you have, you know, intelligence access and, you know, in a position in a very high level of government, when you make a statement like that, you're saying a lot about the potential of what, and so by saying when you say it's worse, remember that when it wasn't as bad, 9/11 happened. Okay, so when he says it that way, somebody at that high level of government used to making policy statements, government statements, when he says that, it's like a done deal. He's like saying, worse is coming. He's not just saying it maybe, kind of maybe, might happen. He's saying it's bad. It's really bad. And it may be ongoing as we speak. Now, at the same time, I saw another headline where discussion about how inflated the financial markets are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, essentially unprecedented. And so we've got Ebola, a biological pandemic in the offing. We've got financial markets that are about to come crashing down. And I think most everybody understands. I think you'd find very few people who would tell you, no, the markets aren't going to crash. It's simply an argument of timing. And
the markets are, if you look at the, one thing you can look at the markets to see how in trouble we are is there's, you know, whenever you buy stocks, you always have to take a loan and go on margin. Well, there's a percentage that people use the margin, you know, how many people are actually using it versus, you know, what's available. And for every crash, I was looking at the previous crashes, 2000 and 2008 and all those, we're higher than any other crash in history right now as far as margin percentage. And now the bond market is showing the same thing. So it's in other words, people are tapped out on their credit. They're using all their credit that the stock firm is giving them to trade, and they got nothing left. And so, yeah, they're all in debt, big debt. So these stocks that are overpriced, but yet the earnings aren't showing it. So, yeah, it's just a matter of time where it all collapses, huge drop.
Yeah, and that,
you know,
another way to say that, Keith, is there's no money set aside in cash to buy any of the stocks after they crash.
Right. And the only reason why the market's going up is because all the money the government's printing is going to the is going to these firms that are buying it. So it's bought with debt money.
Right.
That's why
right.
I point out. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah, that's why that, yeah, that's right. A whole bunch of this so-called quantitative easing is they've been circulating currency to into the stock market through the trading firms.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how they kept the market, the numbers of the market up. It's also mm-hmm. why the market marches in lockstep much more so than ever in the past, and why trading, I think, is just virtually silly at this point, because, you know, the price of stocks rarely actually moves on anything that relates to value.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very strange. And that's actually been true.
I mean,
well, yeah,
you can tell that big firms are buying it, because they notice that every time the government, like the stock market will drop a couple hundred points, and then all of a sudden, mysteriously, the Feds will make a statement about something, and then it goes right back up. So you can just totally tell that the big companies that have all the cash from the Feds that are buying the stocks are just listening to the government saying, in other words, here's the signal today, buy again, go back up. It's a total setup every time. It was like, wow.
Right.
Yeah, you notice everywhere, everybody's offering more and more credit cards. Like, you can get a Walmart credit card now. They were walking around advertising that. I think you get a Winn-Dixie credit card. It's like everybody's offering credit cards. Like, literally, like, I can go online. PayPal has a new credit system. Amazon has a credit system. And I'm getting new, like, just companies that didn't previously have credit systems have it now. It's like everybody just like, here, like, we're going to save our company by putting you in even more debt. It's crazy. It's not how it's supposed to work.
Well, economically, yeah. They say that most Americans are one paycheck away from losing their house, their car, and everything else. Because they're so strapped to the hilt, no matter how much money they have, they just buy a bigger house, bigger car. So they lose one paycheck. That's it. There goes the house, the car, whatever. So everybody's living on the edge.
Right.
So dull.
Right. You know, I was noticing Walmart is promoting a layaway system, which most of the time they don't do. That used to be really big in the 70s, doing layaway. Mm-hmm. And it's just another sign the economy is really, really awful.
Yeah, you're right.
Because people can't afford to buy whatever they're buying at Walmart without, you know, sort of going into hock to get it.
Pretty bad.
It's quite bad, actually. But the whole political movement for the last 8 to 10 years has been to eliminate the middle class as much as possible.
Absolutely.
Because they want the majority of people dependent on the government for something: healthcare, food stamps,
mm-hmm.
welfare, and as long as the majority are indebted in some way that they don't believe they can survive without government assistance, then they're never going to vote to reduce government assistance. And then the government just gets ever bigger and ever more control, and
mm-hmm.
gets people in a position of dependency, and then they suck up, you know, the tax rates keep going up and up and up, and healthcare through employers keeps getting more and more expensive. And I can tell you, because I know, healthcare, you know, what companies are paying for healthcare has gone up more than 100%, is more than doubled in the last 2 years. And there are going to be some variances from one circumstance to the other, but what they're trying to do is squeeze employers out of offering health care so that it pushes
exactly.
more
That's
people
why
into the government.
Most jobs out there right now only offer 28 hours, because if you do 29 hours, you have to be part of the Obama plan. So it's like you said, they're really taking advantage of the people that need to make the money. Can't even get the hours anymore. Most of the and there's a thing that Obama wants to include Ebola for his healthcare plan. I think he's got a real good way to just bankrupt the whole system, because most absurd things he comes up with is just absolutely ridiculous. It's like half a million dollars per Ebola case right now, and now we're included under the new plan. I mean, come on. It's like set up. This, basically, the he set up the medical system to bankrupt the entire United States, because it will. The way Obamacare will
exactly
bankrupt
right.
the whole. He'll bankrupt it and drop it and destroy it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Keith Ed, because I was cracking up today because I knew the nurses were going to come out. And I knew the nurses were going to say, no way do we walk into this. Because I know nurses, because I work in the healthcare industry. I work, and I work in the insurance and healthcare industry. So I know this dog. And the nurses union, who you do not want to mess with, said, you don't ever give us the hazmat stuff. You don't give us the training. We don't work. We will shut these hospitals down.
Wow.
And I'm in, I'm in Boston, so I am in right now Ebola Central. We got a plane. We got a plane quarantined out in Logan that just came out of Saudi Arabia because they just had the hottest melting pot of illness you ever wanted to find. We got this, this other person who just came out of, into the BI, you know. And I know I'm going to go into work, and I'm going to, and nurses are going to be like, this is not going to happen on my watch. So, but we know.
You're right.
You know, nurses don't play, I got to tell you. need to be social workers. But we know that this is going to happen. It's not like we're surprised. I've been waiting for this to happen since I was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
It's going down. All right, I got a front row seat. All right. Yeah, I can see that on the actors' faces. All right. Yeah, Dick Cheney is one of the circles. So what he's saying is, you know, I hold that one with a grain of salt. But yeah, but we're all looking at this, and it's like, oh, well, it's on it. Okay, it's on and popping. Cool.
Right.
You know, and I live in a huge complex, and it is at least, 15 buildings. It's gated.
Wow.
And I know. Oh, yeah. And I know this is going to be a camp. I know I live in a camp.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any way to get out of here. And I know that. I can feel it. I can sense it. I can smell it. I know Boston is on the front row. And I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. You just put me right here on the front row because you knew where to put me on the front row. And that's where I am. Okay. Right. Okay. So.
You are on the front row for that.
I'm just
listening
to that.
It's funny, Alana, you mentioned that your complex becoming a detention facility, because I used to, one of the places that I used to work was basically a recreational facility. It was a racetrack that was privately owned, and the guy who was the manager, those of us who worked together, and we're young guys, and we would joke, but not too euphemistically, about this particular guy having Nazi-like sympathies. And you know how on this place was lined, had a fence that went all around it, all around the property. And we used to joke about how the barbed wire at the top of the fence pointed in. Because that's what you do when you keep people in a location. The barbed wire always points in the direction of who you want to control. And it should have been protecting the property from people who wanted to get in. Should have been pointing out. But at this particular facility, it was pointed in. And we kind of, at the time, we were joking about it. These days, I'm not sure it would be very funny. You mentioned that we thought it was funny at the time. It was funny at the time, but that airplane. You know, out of the Middle East, there's MERS and SARS, and now Ebola through Africa or from Africa, and maybe we're going to get to the point where they won't let you go to the hospital if you're actually sick.
Believe it, baby. Believe that, because there's not going to be anybody at the hospital. I bet you by the end of this week, I will be able to tell you what is really going on in the healthcare industry, because I am at Healthcare Central.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, you're on, you do have a front row seat. Just get yourself some popcorn, Alana, put your feet up, because there's going to be quite a show.
Oh, my goodness. But my Lord is right here with me. That's, I think that's the point that I'm trying to make, is like, y'all, you know I got a front row seat. You know I got a front row seat. And I am a paycheck from the street, my own darn self, you know. And I know I live in a camp. So I will say, the Lord walks with me, shows me what's what, has given me assurance that I don't have nothing to worry about, that all I need to do is walk with him. And that's why I'm here calling in after the show, is to say, y'all, I know how it looks. We knew how it was going to look, and it's looking that way. You know, cowgirl up.
Right. Yeah. That's
you
a
know,
great testimony,
what?
Alana. Yeah. That's what we do. That's what we do.
And
he's in us.
Step up, y'all.
Yep. Yep. He's here with us as long as he leaves us here. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Does anybody else have anything that they wanted to offer? I think I'm maybe going to close ourselves out with a song here. Do you have anything? Okay. I'm going to play this song, How He Loves. He's with us.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affection. Earth like an oppressing kiss, and my heart turns right.